You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Did you know that Podcast Juice is premium content? Well, check out Podcast Juice All Access. Join today and get instant access to over 9 years of great classic podcasts, members-only shows, and more exclusive content. Go to PodcastJuice.net/All Access and join today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out on PodcastJuice.net. My name is Michael Dean, and today we're going to review Jurassic World. But before we do that, so let me introduce my co-patriots. I don't know if I just made up a word, but my co-host. Starting with Mr. Sean Hill. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, doing good. I'm week three of living the cell phone free life. I'm still alive.
All right. Also joining us, Mr. Big Sexy and Zach. How are you, sir?
Doing well, gentlemen. Ready to get into some spirited debate today.
All right. Also, we have joining us Mr. Ant Pooh. How are you?
I'm doing all right. All I know is you guys can call me by my new name, Anthony Shalom Steinberg.
Oh, here we go.
All right. All right.
Trans lives matter.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, we will get into that a little later. Not on this show. Also, last but certainly not least, a.k.a. Mr. Controversy, a.k.a. the Antichrist, apparently, a.k.a. Mr. Line Stepper, but a.k.a. that's our brother, Mr. Q-Storm, however you say.
Y'all know good and damn well them kids was acting a fool at that damn
Oh, see, there you go.
AKA Uncle Ruckus.
You got one of the woman talking most shit, posing like she on King Magazine.
All right. Staying on target. That was his intro. Going in on black people.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Hey, I didn't say. That has been derailed right now.
And she looked good, too. I ain't going to lie.
All right. Is that the dinosaurs or are you talking about something else? So, Jurassic World, let's get into it. This is the fourth sequel in the Jurassic Park franchise, right? Let me give you a little synopsis of what the movie is about, and we'll get into our opinions. It says, located off the coast of Costa Rica, the Jurassic World Luxury Resort provides a habitat for an array of genetically engineered dinosaurs, including the vicious and intelligent Indominus Rex, if I'm saying it right. When the massive creature escapes, it sets off a chain reaction that causes the other dinos to run amok. Now it's up to former military man and animal expert, played by Chris Pratt, to use his special skills to save two young boys and the rest of the guests from an all-out prehistoric assault.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Sure.
You know the trailer for Ted 2 where the Ted says... the girl says, "Who's Sam Jackson?" And he says, "Have you seen any movie ever? He's the black guy." they could have shortened that and just said, "Have you seen any Jurassic Park ever? It's that shit."
All right. Well, let's get into your review. What did you think of the movie?
I actually was kind of interested in it. First, I'm going to say 20 minutes. But I liked how they had modernized Jurassic Park. Now it's Jurassic World. I liked seeing how the filmmakers kind of up the scale of the park. You know, it's got a monorail now. It's got like SeaWorld and very futuristic with seats to go down in the ground. And
that was cool.
That was interesting to see. Once they start introducing the characters, I tuned out. It's your typical bludgeoning over the head with stereotypical characters. The guy who's the loner, who apparently only has one set of clothes, who's also a dino whisperer, apparently. You have the evil corporation. You have the standard military guy who wants to weaponize. And then you got the standard. I'm gonna say it. No offense to I can't miss the joke, but no offense to our melanoid free listeners. But you got the typical kids who this isn't a haunted house, but they're acting like white people doing a haunted house. They don't get the fuck out. you got the kids who don't listen, and the parents are going through a divorce, so we're supposed to feel sympathy for them, even though they don't bother to play up the divorce card. They just throw that in there so you can feel sympathy for any of these kids when they get attacked by the dinosaurs, which at some point I was like, eat them, motherfuckers, please. You have the only part of the film that really engaged me, and I was like, wow, I've never seen this before, except for maybe 5 minutes of Jurassic Park 3, was, I don't want to give it away, but there is there's a set piece that is pretty cool. It's like watching the Godzilla movie. But other than that, you know, just amping up the dinosaurs and making them, because you have a new movie coming out, and making them, asking me to suspend my disbelief to the point where I'm like, really? Where dinosaurs can talk to each other? A dinosaur is intelligent, that can strategize and go through logistics, you know, and calculate all types of things and do equations and shit like that. I'm just not buying it. It's just too ridiculous for me. So I'm going to give this 2.5 stars out of 5.
All right.
It was more of the same.
All righty. There it is. Mr. Sean Hill, what's your take?
The polar opposite of Mr. Q-Storm. I thought it was quite enjoyable. The characterizations, I will say, the two younger kids, that whole subplot and plotline with their parents, that could have been jettisoned and maybe put in some more dino stuff. I do agree with Q with the opening as far as the setup of the park and the they got a petting zoo. They've got, you know, the SeaWorld type aspect. You know, of course, you got your museum with your merchandising. I don't think he mentioned, but you can go kayaking with the dinosaurs. This is a cool place if it were, you know, if it were actually real. And I think I saw you, Mike, post about the Gyrosphere ride. You had an issue with that. I don't know what your issue is with that, but
I'll get into it. Go ahead.
Okay, you'll get into it. I thought that was one of the cooler aspects of it. I thought Chris Pratt was really good. He's now a movie star. I think he's ready to move on to leading man type stuff. I thought he was really good. He was good in Guardians, but he's better here. But the film does stick to the Jurassic Park formula. The dinosaurs break free, they start chasing people, eating them. You got the kids in jeopardy like you had in the other three movies. You've got the control room situation with the, you know, they're trying to monitor everything, which was more in the first movie. There's some characters that you cannot wait to see get eaten. And of course, there's always romance discovered amongst the chaos. There are several set pieces. Q mentioned one. I'll mention the one that features the Gyrosphere. I thought that was a very good little action sequence there. Closely rivals the initial T-Rex attack in the first film. Really liked it. It does, like I said, it does sample a lot from the first film, but it, you know, it is the fourth film in a franchise, so you're going to get sampling, as I say. But there's enough fun and entertainment value. I can let go of some of the plot contrivances like Q said, they want to weaponize the dinosaurs. I don't know how exactly that would work. You know, are you going to send Chris Pratt to everywhere, or is he going to teach people how to do that? I don't know how that would work. But I'm watching a movie about dinosaurs roaming the earth, so I can let some stuff go. I mean, it's already, you know, I'm already letting enough go as it is. I gave the film 3.5 out of 4 stars. It's a lot of fun. I saw it in 3D IMAX, and I enjoyed it that format. So if the budget allows, see it. I enjoy it.
All right. You thought Chris Pratt was better in this than he was in Guardians?
I did.
All right, we'll get it to my.
I didn't think he was as silly.
We can get into. We'll jump into the questions later. All right, so I did get to see this movie as well. A lot of the stuff that Sean and Ant, not Ant, I'm sorry, Q-Storm mentioned, I somewhat agree with. But I will say this, I enjoyed the movie, actually. It's Jurassic World, I keep calling it Jurassic Park. You know, I've seen the three other movies, the first one being the best one. I did somewhat enjoy the third one, actually, from what I remember.
I didn't know it was the third one.
Yeah, this is the fourth one.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And so I'm a fan of the, I guess, of the, you know, the franchise. Going into this, didn't really know what to expect. I was thinking, oh, it's just going to be more of the same, which it is. But I will say this. I had a great time watching this movie because it's one of those movies that, for me, I would talk back at the screen. I won't be yelling back. But, you know, I call this movie Jurassic World, a.k.a. my man from Friday would say, it's your ass, Mr. Postman. This has the dinosaurs coming, getting motherfuckers. I'm with Q. There's part I was rooting for some of the dinosaurs, actually. Like, I wanted to see them take people down because I just thought they were being stupid, which a lot of these characters, they are playing those same sort of stupid characters we see in a lot of horror movies. Like, man, don't go over there. What are you doing? Why are you going over there? You know, it's so I like watching movies like that. So like the little kids subplot, were they sort of dumb and stuff? Yeah, but I liked the one little older brother because he was a Mac. You know, you kept seeing him trying to holler at chicks, and so he was kind of learning his. I was like, okay, that's kind of funny to me. And the little boy was just like, oh, I want to go over here. I want to go over here, which little kids would do. So I was like, okay, I can see that's kind of funny to me. And I knew they were going to get themselves into some situations because most of the other movies sort of flow in that way. So the part I was talking about online was the, I call it the little globe, and you call it the gyroscope. And you see it in the trailer, they're like a little ball and you're free rolling. That's some bullshit. I think that it looks cool though. I mean, the concept of it and in the movie, I'm like, that's some cool shit. That seemed like it was so futuristic to me because I was like, who? First of all, here's the problem I had with that, but why I liked it. They are obviously in control of that thing, they can drive it. And they're out there free roaming with the dinosaurs. Kind of like when you see those YouTube videos and they be out there in the jungle or out in the desert or something, and the lions come. Don't walk too close to the thing now. It'll tear your head off. And, you know, white folks go up there anyway. It's that kind of situation. I'm like, these are dinosaurs, a whole island of them. Why the fuck would you be in a globe with kids in control of it? And they can just free drive this thing anywhere, and they just... Oh, well, the glass is, you know, unbreakable glass. What if that bitch shuts down? What if you're trapped out there in the middle of all them dinosaurs and your shit stopped working? What are you going to do? Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. But I was just like, I know this ain't going to go well. And it doesn't. And it's a great action scene. But I was just like, get them mother. Shouldn't have never been out there in the first place. Get them. You know, I wanted them to get God. There's the great part where the Tyrannosaurus Rex or whatever dude is chasing them and they jump in that water. I was so hoping that dinosaur jumped in that water. Like, you motherfuckers think I can't swim? I would have been like, yeah.
I was like, if this dinosaur jumps in this water, I'm leaving.
I wanted him to jump in here and get him. Just like, take him out. But it was fun. I had a great time watching that. Chris Pratt, you did bring up the part about him being in Guardians. I thought he was good in this. I don't think he was given enough. He was a very one-dimensional sort of a character.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I don't mind. I don't expect this movie to go all deep into characters. I don't know if the other ones did. I can't remember. But I was fine with it. He, to me, he played sort of a... In my mind, I saw him part Indiana Jones, part Nathan Blake, the guy from Uncharted. That's what he looked like to me. The Uncharted games, excuse me. And then just some random action... You know, badass dude who's only there to be badass. And that's fine. I was like, he's doing that part well. Fine. His whole subplot about training the raptors, that was on some bullshit. But, but I was okay. It was funny to me. And again, I wanted to see him take this motherfucking head off. Because, like, you don't jump in there with them dinosaurs. They don't give a fuck about you. And they showed that, like, they was like, don't turn your back on me, mom, because we'll tap on that ass. And I liked it. I liked it, them scenes. There's the great scene where there's a dude who falls into the raptor's sort of pit. And I was like, take his ass down. He shouldn't have been up there anyway. He ain't supposed to be working there, motherfucker. But, of course, Chris Pratt come in there, and he using the force and hypnotizing these raptors. And I was like, this is that old bullshit. But I was like, whatever, this whole movie is on that, so that's fine, and that's cool. So I can go on and on, but I did enjoy the movie. The action parts were great to me. It was fun to watch it. I loved when all hell breaks loose, you know, in the last part of it, and you kind of see it in the trailer where those, one of them little flying things, dinosaurs, they be flying.
Pteranodons.
When them bad boys, that's what I always felt like, once they get loose, it's over. Because they can just go fly to the mainland, or, and I love how they come in almost like World War II bombers, and I was like, snatch them up. Yep.
They came in like TIE fighters.
Yeah, I give you that too. And they just started snatching people. I was like, that's right. And that, I won't ruin it, but there's the great scene with the girl who's supposed to be watching the kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she got it. That's what you get, bitch. That's what you should have been on your job. And they tore her ass up. And I love the movie for that. That was hilarious to me. Go ahead. Well, let me just finish a second.
Oh, yeah,
I did enjoy the movie. It's not perfect, but it's a perfect, for me, it was perfect because it's just, you know, summertime adventure, run and chase, they're chasing, the monsters are chasing you. And I will say this last thing, there was a couple of jumps in there that got me. I was like, oh, shit. You know, a couple times they got me. I was like, okay, this is a good movie. So in terms of it being a Jurassic Park and it's the fourth one, I thought it was going to be kind of horrible. It was actually surprised my expectations. I liked it. Go ahead, Q.
Okay, just a couple of technical things real quick. So you are a member of what I assume is an elite paramilitary force. You're going to let a civilian who just learned how to fly a helicopter take you into battle? Okay, that's one. Two, the screen that they're looking at where they went when they got their James Cameron aliens on. Mm-hmm. So what, did they design that because they knew these people were going to get their asses eaten up?
Which part are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Remember that when they're in the control room, mm-hmm. the big control room.
Yep.
And the guys, the paramilitary team first goes to take down the Rex, Indominus Rex. Well, they had these screens with photos of each of the soldiers monitoring their heartbeat.
Oh, right.
So that means y'all created that because you knew some shit was going to go down, apparently.
Well, it happened before. I mean, you got to be prepared for any and all, you know, instances.
Yeah.
But what? Okay. All right. There was another part where right before they Chris Pratt gets his Dances with Velociraptors on, when he's riding with the Velociraptors to go take out the Indominus Rex. Right before that scene where they're all gathered up at the cage and they're like getting ready for war. The scene before that, it was broad daylight, and then they did one cut, and it was nighttime.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Hmm,
I'm like, what? Where did all the people then? At what point did all the people get herded into the main hall of Jurassic Park, of the Jurassic World?
You know, that's funny. I actually was trying to figure out did this thing take place in one day or two? Because I couldn't tell because it. Like the girl, you know, the main lady in the movie, she was supposed to watch the kids on the second day, but she never actually gets to that point to watch the kids. But then I felt like, did they spend the night out there, or how long did this thing take place? Now that you're mentioning that it goes to dark, which kind of puzzles me.
And then there's another part where we first meet. It seems like the two scenes could have been combined. It would have made a lot more sense. When we first meet Chris Pratt, he's doing, like you said, Mike, that bullshit about what he's... Like I said, he's playing the Dino Whisperer with these Velociraptors, right? Then we cut, and we learned that, I think her name was Casey, the Bryce Dallas Howard's character. She had the Irfan Khan, the actor who plays the John Hammond character. He tells her, you got to go talk to Chris Pratt. So then we have a scene where she's driving through the forest, and she goes to his home. And he's in his relaxed gear. Then the scene right after that, we got Chris Pratt back in the same clothes he was just wearing. And that's when he comes to inspect the Indominus Rex paddock. I'm like, what? Just seems weird. They could have combined those two scenes where Bryce Dallas Howard confronts him when he finishes talking to the Velociraptors. It seemed the editing there seemed a little off to me. What do you think, Sean?
I didn't have a problem with it. I thought they needed that scene just with the two of them to kind of, you know, we get their back history, you know, that they dated, I guess, once and whatnot. I didn't have a problem with that.
No, I'm not. Well, I think you misunderstood me. I believe you needed that scene as well to get the back history. What I'm saying is, why did you need to split it up?
Oh, I got you.
With her going all the way out to his house where he had changed his clothes. Then we come back to Jurassic World where he puts on the same outfit. Why couldn't that have been combined so that it happened linearly right after the Velociraptor scene? It seemed, to Mike's point, it's like, how many days is this? Or does he only, because it looks like she's driving for quite a distance. Does he only have one outfit that he wears? The blue denim shirt with the vest? It seemed just a minor technical thing that I noticed.
I think it took place over 2 days. So they get there and then the attack at night, and then it keeps going throughout the day because it ends during the day. So I think it's 2 days.
What do you think that after the events of this movie, where do you guys think they could they possibly go anywhere else with this franchise at this point?
They're done. Because the second one was a stretch as it was already, right? And then the third one, I despise the third one. I don't like it at all. Wow.
I thought the third one was far better than the second one.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
But now here's my thing. When you turn these, like they did in this movie, when you turn these dinosaurs into serial killers, which is all these things were, I had a problem with. These are animals, and what makes the first three work, whether you like the second one or not, is that they're relatively treated like wild animals. Here, it's no different from watching Jason or Michael Myers. So if you make that comparison, which I do, you can let this go on for another six sequels.
Well, no, I think it's the sort of what I'm saying is, again, to me and the other ones, they seem to be killers too. Like, they always was chasing and killing people.
But they weren't thinking and planning how to
kill
them.
Yeah, they were.
That's not like the point of the movies.
Yeah, the raptors in the first one, when they're chasing them in the kitchen, that was the whole thing. Remember, the one figured out how to open the door, and they.
You're right. But
they were talking to each other too.
Yeah, because you had said something about that, and that was a thing that they could do.
I understand. Okay, you make a point, but I guess I rationalize that. I'm not going to say, well, that's different. I rationalize by saying that in the wild there are animals that hunt in packs. So that I guess I do see that. You make a good point.
Bring in science, huh?
Yes.
Well, with that said, the future of what they can do with it. I mean, I'm curious. I'm sure they will make another one. Obviously, it's going to make a lot of money. But it's like, what can they possibly do?
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah, no. Are they going to go like they did in the second one? Oh, we also have – we got this island over here.
Island 2 was in secret.
Yeah. Oh, this is Jurassic World even better.
So yeah, like who goes back to that now, the third time, if you're a customer, right? Like it's two massacres. Well, one real massacre. Wasn't the second one, didn't it come back to the city or come back to the...
Yeah, San Diego. They came to my hood.
Yeah,
just, you know what they could do? I'm not saying they should, but this is what they... I could see them doing this. Is that what they'll do is they'll fold time. So they will release a movie that shows another storyline that takes place during this.
Oh. Kind of like a sequel, prequel or something. Or
well, like, for example, I mean, just as an example, you could have a couple, like a family that got trapped out in the wilderness when they closed the park now, and the pteranodons are attacked, or their story is trying to make it back before the pteranodons eat them or whatever. Or,
All right.
I'm not saying that's a good idea. I don't recommend them doing that, but... If this thing, I just saw that this thing has won the box office for the weekend. Come on, they won't care if it makes sense or not. They'll do it.
Yeah, no, it's going to have a huge weekend. I think it's, as I said right before the show, it's sitting at $82 million, which is, I guess, the third biggest Friday opening on record. So it's
one of the things too I found interesting is that they don't mention. At least that I caught 2 and 3. There are lots of references to the first one, and I guess we should mention too. B.D. Wong is the only character to come back from the original movie.
Yeah, apparently, there is a shot in there that shows the picture of what's my guy? Can't think of his name. He played the fly.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum.
Apparently, his picture is in the movie somewhere.
Yeah, I think
it was.
I think in the control room.
On a book or something like that, they said.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I didn't either. I was watching some other things about
it. So is B.D. Wong playing the same character?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's the same character.
So I guess with age, you turn into an asshole? Is that what it is?
Well, maybe.
Because I liked his character. I just assumed he was killed. How did he get out?
I don't know all that. I don't remember, but...
Maybe he's genetically altered. Is this, you know, he's got, like, powers.
I love the fact that he had a George Takei haircut.
Maybe that was a reference.
I'm not going to say it.
There you go. All right, so Jurassic World. Go see it for yourself. Let us know what you think.
What question? What do you guys think? Could you watch one and then skip two and three and then watch this one? Would you need to?
Absolutely skip two.
Well, I agree with
you
that.
You know what?
I'd say see three, though. Three is good.
I would put two way over this one.
Except, what?
I wouldn't.
Well, yeah. I haven't seen it, so.
Except for the end, which I'm not going to ruin it, except for that last 30 minutes, I thought this movie was just, it was a cash grab. Everything we do is a cash grab, but I'm saying they really had no reason to make this movie other than there was no more story to tell, which is apparent in this movie. So that, in that sense, it was just made so that they can make money.
Yeah. Well, I even said that in my review. There's really no reason for this movie to exist, but that doesn't mean it's not entertaining.
Yeah, it's a good movie. All right, we got to move on. We got a lot of things to get into. All right, the next thing we wanted to jump in is a little movie coming up by Marvel called Doctor Strange.
Oh, Lord.
And I don't have this in front of me because my screens are tripping. But what is the name of the gentleman? He's going to be playing a character.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
And you've seen him in many movies before. Can anybody
name
him?
He's that Negro. The magic
Negro.
Yeah,
he was in Serenity.
Excellent in that. He was in a lot of... wasn't he in... He's been in a lot of black sort of...
He was in...
12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave, you started.
12 Years a Slave, yeah.
Oscar nominated.
Yeah, there you go. So he's going to be... go ahead.
He played in a movie, HBO movie about the... tsunami back in 2004, I think it was.
Okay, he's kind of one of those character type of actors. You see him in a lot of stuff. Somebody was saying, I think it was on one of those groups on Facebook, they kept talking about Four Brothers, and I have to go back and watch that. Apparently, he has an excellent scene in that movie. But he's playing. What's the name of the character he's going to play in Doctor Strange?
Baron Mordu.
And I don't know anything about Mordu. This character. Describe who that is.
He was the manservant to the Ancient One in the original origin story of Doctor Strange.
Okay, all right.
The manservant. I wouldn't call him a manservant. I would call him more of a disciple than a manservant.
No, he was a.
They better not call him a manservant.
I was about to say, whoa!
You'd be anything but a manservant in this movie.
And they had to make him black.
He was like the assistant, personal assistant. He was also I don't think that's right, Big Sexy. From what I remember, I'm not saying I'm right, but from what I remember, he was like the guy's servant. But he was on the sly, learning how to practice the black arts or whatever.
He was on the sly learning, you know, shit he wasn't supposed to learn.
Right.
But he was definitely a student, though.
Was he? Okay. All right. I thought he was a.
And when Strange got there, Mordo immediately was like, hater in the house.
Right.
And yeah, he's a villain character, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So he's going to be playing the sort of villain character in the Doctor Strange movie then, for the layman's terms, right?
Yes.
All right. So
the thing is, it's a great character.
What do you think about that, Big Sexy?
You know, I like the actor, and if... anyone is familiar with the image of Mordo, it's not that big of a stretch when you look at it. You know, and it's funny because in our current time of everything being overly PC to the point of being nauseating, the fact that they're having a black guy play the villain is okay. Because normally, oh, you can't do that. You know, why do you got to be a bad guy? Blah, blah, blah. No, let him do his thing.
Gee, what do you think about it?
Well, you're not the host, so I'll wait for Mr. Dean to ask me.
Now he respects the host. Well, go ahead, Q. He asked you a question. Go ahead.
So what's the question?
What do you think about the casting?
Well, I think everyone within the sound of my voice, knows my opinion on this type of casting. And I've said, in general, I don't like it. I mean, I could kind of step that back a little bit and say the character is so I feel the character is so inconsequential that it's not that big a deal to me. But it doesn't make me feel any kind of like, oh, we've overcome or anything like that. Oh, we finally got a black actor playing Baron Mordo. I mean, I don't really care. I'm more like, why do we have to have the Ancient One be played by Tilda Swinton?
What?
Oh, you haven't heard that?
No.
Yeah, the Ancient One is now female. It has nothing to do with, I don't think women can't be Ancient Ones, but this Ancient One is not a woman.
You know what? That is some bullshit.
And she's not Asian. Tilda
Swinton, last I looked, she wasn't Asian. No.
Cameron Crowe just got a whole shitload of shit for casting Emma Stone as a Hawaiian native.
Ooh, that is a good point. That is a good point.
Well, and Pooh, since you're jumping in, what do you think about the casting?
I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. If they went for the best possible actor for the role, I'm totally fine with it. I don't believe that this is throwing Negroes a bone. And I think he'll kill it, because I saw Serenity, a very overrated film, by the way.
Hey, and damn it.
I said it, to paraphrase the big section. Very overrated film. And he kills it as a villain. It's something about that accent and the way he carries himself that I can see him playing this role. Now, for me, my knowledge of Baron Mordo is the What If number 6, I believe it was, had the X-Men Lost Inferno, where he fakes playing nice with Doctor Strange only to set up a deal with the demons and then take the soul sword for himself at the end. It was hilarious. You have to read that episode. And then, of course, on the Spider-Man animated show, where I think they portrayed it very well. So I'm okay with it, because I understand that he might be well known within the mythology of Doctor Strange, but overall, he's a D-list character.
Ooh,
well, he is a D-list character.
See, I mean, I never
this isn't Magneto or Doom.
No, it's not. You're not those guys. But come on, man,
I've never heard of him before personally.
Well, here's my question though: why, I didn't read Doctor Strange growing. I did read his origin in that trade paperback. Origins of Marvel Comics, which came out back in the late 70s.
Yeah, I have that on my shelf.
Right? Okay, so I'd rather see Dormammu be the villain in this film than Baron Mordo.
But if you're going to start, you know, from beginning, it's got to be with Mordo.
Why? If you go back to Iron Man in 2008, the scene where, if you read that, I think that's in the same, no, that's in Son of Origins, the Iron Man.
It's in Son.
Well, everyone knows the Iron Man origin story.
Yes.
From the movie. in the movie, they relegated that part of his life where he was in, I think he's in Vietnam in the book, but in this one they updated it to South Korea, I believe.
Afghanistan.
You know, that part of his life was relegated to just the first half of that story. Just like Baron Mordo should just be like maybe the first half hour of this film, when we establish Doctor Strange becoming Doctor Strange. After that, I want to see him fight a real villain.
Dude,
Baron Mordo is a real villain.
Mordo ain't
he's one of his arch nemesis.
Yeah.
All right, well, then I'll fall back. Maybe I haven't read Doctor Strange. I haven't. I thought Baron Mordo was just the guy, that, like we said, he's the guy who Strange fights in when he first meets the Ancient One. And then he's just a tertiary character after that.
No.
He's one of his longest running arch nemesis.
All right.
That being said, I still don't see it. I still don't see him as that big of a character. I mean, I know that that's his arch nemesis, but you're like, that's like saying Nightwing's arch nemesis. Does anybody care?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Dormammu, I remember that name. I remember reading tons of books with him being a badass villain to Doctor Strange's hero.
But I think with Marvel, how they're so predicated on having these strong character roles, that Baron Mordo is actually perfect because he can chew up the scenery in his confrontations with Doctor Strange, whereas Dormammu is a flaming and he's a man on fire.
No, he's flaming.
Which, which looks impressive aesthetically, but you're just like, okay.
Well, I guess that doesn't say much for the Human Torch then, does it?
But at least he has character. I mean, this is just going to be a guy on fire that's trying to take over the world. So Ultron in flames.
Okay. Adair asks, Sean Hill, what is your what is your thoughts on this?
You, by the way you asked that question, you've already answered it. But I'll say that since I'm not familiar with the property at all, I could care less. As long if the film is good and the characters work, I don't care who's playing them.
And you know what? That's exactly my take, because I'm not familiar with. I know who Doctor Strange is, but I know nothing about him. I never even heard of Mordo or whoever the guy is. So I'm the same way. It doesn't bother me at all because I have no frame of reference for it. You know,
I'm holding the origins of Marvel Comics in my hand. On page whatever the fuck, he introduces Mordo as his pupil. And,
okay.
And he shows
the
Strange.
The ancient one or Strange?
No, Strange, the ancient one. Says, this is my pupil Mordo, he'll take you to your room. And then Strange catches him doing some studying on some creepy tiki doll thing, and he did invoke the name of Dormammu. Mm-hmm. And then Strange caught him, and then Mordo put a hex on his ass, and a piece of iron covered his mouth.
That was fucked. Wasn't that fucked up? I remember as a kid being being like, not traumatized, but like, that's messed up, man. But I just hope that I hope to hear Benedict Cumberbatch say the all seeing eye of Agamotto. I can't wait to hear him say that. I can't wait to hear him say that. Or the hoary hosts of Haga. That's what I like about Doctor Strange, all the bullshit language.
All right. When does that, anybody know when that movie comes out? Like 2017?
I hope it comes out with enough time for them to
reach. I think it's next November.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Better kick ass ass.
I hope it comes out far enough in the future so that they can reshoot all of Tilda Swinton's scenes with an actual Asian person.
How about Asian guy?
November 4th, 2016.
Wow. Answer me this question. How do you not hire George Takei for that role?
He's not old enough. George. They need somebody old. Okay.
You know, I think they're probably going to get George Takei to play Dr. Strange's manservant, which should put a whole new twist on that.
Oh my.
Nah, that's why they won't do it. They ain't got time for that. All right, so there's Dr. Strange.
My apologies to anyone offended.
We'll look for that movie next. We'll look for this movie next year. I tie this into this. One thing they're going to. Wouldn't be a bad idea to do, which I think they're doing with Ant-Man, is on the movie poster, maybe have Doctor Strange stand by Iron Man in the background he's not in this movie or something.
No.
because the Ant-Man, have you guys seen these Ant-Man posters?
Yeah.
Where he's standing, they got one that's got the shield from Captain America, right?
Yeah, I posted those.
Right. One has got the hammer from Thor, and then the other one has... a shot of Iron Man in the picture. And one of them must say, like, no shield, such and such, such and such. What do you guys think about Marvel sort of marketing the movie like that in that way?
I like it because Ant-Man, you know, is an Avenger. So it's not unusual for him to be tied to that franchise. Whereas doing it with Doctor Strange would make zero sense because he's never been an Avenger.
All right. And poop.
It comes off a tad bit desperate. Like, why are you trying to say, that wasn't me? And you took a picture. Goddamn. That's talent.
I dare say what's going on, but go ahead.
it comes off a little bit desperate in the sense that, please come see this movie. You say, it's just as good as these other characters. And to me, I don't get why would you do that? I mean, have they done some test audience that people weren't receptive to the character upon seeing the movie or something? I just don't understand why would they go about that. They didn't go with this type of marketing for Guardians of the Galaxy. And exactly. That was the biggest film of the year. So, I mean, if you're gonna do that type of imagery, the imagery should be that he is a hidden Avenger of some sort. So this has resonance in the Avengers. Not that, oh, we're just as good. He doesn't have a shield, hammer, or what's that, armor. But still come see this movie. It comes off a little desperate, especially since the last few TV spots have been really good in drawing me into wanting to see this movie, whereas the first trailer they showed made me think, I'll see it because it's my nature, but I don't really want to go see it.
All right. Sean Hill.
I think it's a good move. Coming, you know, a couple of months or 3 months maybe after the Avengers, it kind of ties him in, let you know, hey, this character is a part of this universe. A lot of people may not know that, and then that may get more people into the theater that aren't Paul Rudd fans or fans of the Avengers. Get another segment of the population into the theaters. I don't have a problem with it. Actually, I thought the posters were kind of funny. Like I said, Ant-Man throwing a little shade at the rest of the gang. So,
you know, when I originally saw the posters, I think they're cool posters. And I think from a marketing standpoint, I think it's brilliant. Because, again, it puts in the mind of, something to do with Iron Man and Captain America, which all was great movies and well-received by the public. And they may not know who Ant-Man is. The only thing I agree with, it seems it's a little thirsty in terms of,
there you go. Using the young folks.
Yeah, a little thirsty. It's because I can only see like somebody like my son, who is a big fan of watching these types of movies. I don't think he'll see this poster, but I would imagine if he saw that, he would walk in there expecting Iron Man to show up or Captain America or something because, they're in this movie too. And I don't know. Maybe they are. But I think it's a little deceptive a little bit because the only thing I can say is that what's different from this movie and every other movie is that this movie actually is tied to these other movies, so they can fall back to say that, it has something to do with it. It exists in the same world. But generally, movie posters or advertisements for movies don't necessarily show shit that's not in the movie that you're highly recognizable like. But again, they wouldn't have an excuse to do it because they're not tied to other movies. So I can get how this makes sense, but it does look a little like, man, we got to get people up hyped on this. Let's take something that was one of the biggest movies, in the last 20 years and put that imagery associated with it. So I think when people just look at it offhand, I think there will be some people that are like, Iron Man is in this. They may not read that little text that says, no suit or whatever. They may just see the imagery and, I got to go see this. Iron Man's in it or Captain America's in it. So I think it's brilliant, but it is a little shady. That's my opinion. Q-Storm, what do you think?
But I saw the photos. Now, maybe there was some text that I didn't read because I didn't understand why people are saying that there's shade being thrown. What did I miss?
You didn't see the taglines?
I guess I didn't. No.
Q-Storm always prepared. Maybe I was looking at it.
Yeah, usually I'm the one that knows all the names of the characters in the films we review, but that's okay.
I'll beat it.
Well, anyway, I guess it said something that could be.
Well, hey, I'm trying to pull one up now to see if I can. I don't know if anyone else has them readily available, but I know the one for the one with Captain America. I think it says no shield, no something else. No shield, no hammer, no problem. And he's standing on top of Captain America's shield.
I think it's brilliant. Well, before being aware of that, I was thinking it's brilliant because what you want to create something for the eye to draw you in to this character, and so the marketing plan was to show that he's very small. So how do you show someone's very small? Put them in perspective with other objects that are scale. And so why not use the Avengers paraphernalia and then make it even more clever by, just tongue-in-cheek, throwing a tongue-in-cheek insult out there. I just take it as it's a David and Goliath comparison, like overcoming all odds, no shield, no suit, no problem, small guy who can handle big business. I think it's very clever.
All right. I think that was all we had for today. Yes, it was.
So wait. What? That's all we have for today?
That's what I said.
Are you thinking the huge news that was announced earlier this week?
No, let me know, because I don't know.
Oh.
John Bernthal casted as the Punisher for season two of Daredevil?
Yeah.
All right,
there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We got one. One more for you. Yes. So Daredevil season two has, they're going to have that, obviously. And they've announced that Punisher is going to be featured in this season. And it's going to be played by, I call him Shane. My man Shane from The Walking Dead. John Bernthal. I'm saying his name right.
Bernthal.
Going to be played Punisher. So, Ampu, since you brought it up, what do you think about that?
I'm confused, but at the same time excited by this, because everybody was expecting Bullseye and Elektra. I forgot who was there. They're saying there was a Colin Farrell. No, not Colin Farrell. Somebody was in talk to play Bullseye. The name is escaping me at the moment. But
it was some guy. It was a nobody,
Statham,
right?
Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
I ain't a nobody. Jason Statham. Yeah, and then they throw us this curveball like, nah. Punisher. And I think we all are seeing the writing on the wall that this is going to lead to a Punisher Netflix series or maybe even a season. So I'm excited for that because the Punisher can definitely be mined for – it is perfect for this style of release of his character in his format. And he can be mined for season after season after season worth of content. But now the only thing that I am confused about is – my understanding when they announced the Netflix show was that in 2016, we were supposed to get four. Punisher, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. Now, apparently Daredevil did so well that before they even talked about when Jessica Jones, which they already filmed, and I think they might have already wrapped filming, is going to premiere. And we still haven't talked about Luke Cage, if the rest of their cast, and Iron Fist, and they're supposed to be a Defenders. They've already announced not only season two of Daredevil is going to be released next year, but Punisher's coming. I'm like, okay, what's up with the rest of the shows? Not that I'm not happy about season two of Daredevil. Not that I'm not happy about the Punisher. But is this going to delay the other series?
But you know what's interesting to me? Well,
Jessica Jones comes out this year.
Yeah, we don't know when.
Don't you guys think that the Punisher could merit his own series?
Well, we don't know what role he's going to play in the season. It could be a couple of episodes. It could be all the episodes. They're just saying that he's going to be in season two. And, I mean, that's kind of – it's a good way to roll out the character for its own season. I mean, I'm trying to think. They didn't do it so well. Well, I mean, like they're doing with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones.
I don't know why. You don't – of all the characters that doesn't need to be rolled out in another popular franchise, I'd say the Punisher – who's been that Dirty Laundry clip that what's his name starred in? I mean, that's legendary as far as I know. I don't think you need to introduce him in another series. Just put him out in his own.
But I mean, the thing is that why not leverage the Punisher's popularity to get even more attention for Daredevil? Because Daredevil and Punisher did have an issue in the comics. So I mean, why not give that to the hardcore fans and as well as the new fans that aren't aware of this history, and they might have a good story to tell.
I don't know. Maybe it's the Ari Gold, and maybe I'm getting my Ari Gold on and just being protective of the characters. But I just think, and I'm not saying this is rational, but introducing him from off of another person's back, metaphorically speaking, it makes the character look a little, I don't know, maybe desperate is too strong a word, but he's strong enough to be introduced on his own. And then if you want to do like Arrow and Flash have done, if you want to do a crossover, fine, but it just makes him look a little, coming out the gate, a little, I don't know, toothless.
Are you saying that Henry Cavill in him?
Well, yeah. Hey.
All right.
I disagree. Go ahead. Because I think what I'm assuming they're going to mine this story from the Frank Miller run, issue 182 to 185, I believe. That did not introduce the character, obviously, but it introduced him to the Daredevil, universe, and it was done very well. And because when you look at his introduction up until that point, he'd only appear sporadically. You know, he was in Amazing 129, obviously, and then a couple other things, a few other things here and there. He wasn't really as exposed as he became later on. So I think this is okay.
And we don't know what capacity his character will play in this show, if he's going to be in it throughout. I mean, obviously, they got some strong characters already. To me, I want to see more Wilson Fisk and Daredevil.
That's the man there.
Yeah.
My thing is if he gives us Daredevil versus Punisher fight, I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
See, and I don't like that because Punisher just ought to shoot his ass. That'll be that.
Well, there is the new logo for the Daredevil shows the Daredevil logo shot up with bullets. So
I guess he's going to catch one.
But maybe I don't know that much about the Punisher. From what I know about Daredevil and what I know about the Punisher, Daredevil will whoop his ass.
In a fight, he would. In a hand to hand.
Well, yeah, he probably is more skilled.
That's why the Punisher.
I mean, once you run out of bullets, I mean, you're done, aren't you?
Stab him.
Now, the only thing I think this could, I want to say, backfire is there could be the case of the Punisher looking more cool than, and Big Sexy noticed this line, Punisher getting more over than Daredevil and stealing his heat.
Very true.
So very like, real possibility. Because right now, Daredevil is the man. People love the show. But then you introduce Punisher, who, let's just face it, I'm being honest, Punisher is kind of a cooler character than Daredevil.
That's what, exactly.
You kind of run the risk of people like, well, you know, damn, we want more Punisher and fuck Daredevil now. And you kind of want that backlash on a hit show, so to speak, which kind of happened to Arrow.
Another reason why I'm saying you bring up a good point, and that wasn't my reasoning, but that's another good reason why you don't introduce Punisher in Daredevil.
Well, actually, I think from a Marvel standpoint, they would win either way, right? I mean,
well, of course they would, but
that's why they do.
But you don't want to bring any bad heat on your property. You don't want people. It's like, I mean, like they introduced Falcon in Captain America: Winter Soldier. There could have been a point where people were caring more about Falcon and saying, "Fuck this white bread, blue eyed, uppity." No, I mean, not uppity, but stand up.
Tell us what you really think.
We want the brother. They kinda did but that no, with Black Widow. But that's people are clamoring for Black Widow, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, Captain America, he kicked ass, but where's Black Widow? Black Widow, Black Widow. Kind of.
The same thing happened in Daredevil. People like the Kingpin. You know, the Kingpin stole it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right.
I mean, either way, even if he's introduced and he comes off very well, he makes season two very rewatchable for people, which, again, Netflix has no problem with that. Neither does Marvel, and then we can spin him off into his own. Cool. I mean, they're neither one of them are going away. I think the only reason they're probably more hesitant to introduce him this way is that they've already had, what, three iterations of the Punisher before, and all, you know, you may have liked some of the others, but they were kind of not well received. And so maybe it's easier to bring him in something that's successful already and say, hey, we could restart him here. And if he blows up, we can take him off into, or we can leave him just be another character in the show. So it sort of doesn't risk it for them to put all of their resources to, let's make another series of this guy. We got these characters that we can use in other shit. Why not introduce him here? If he is good here, then the sky's the limit.
It's, I don't understand that all the hate I'm seeing for John Bernthal, to be honest.
I don't know why.
I love him. Him.
I think he's great.
He's like a De Niro to me.
He's a good choice. That's a little too far. But he's a good choice for this role.
Yeah. People are saying they're intimating that the only range he has is what we saw him do in Shane, in the character Shane.
What was he in before that? Because I've seen him before.
I don't know. I haven't. That's the first time I saw him.
Nah, he was in something before.
He was in Fury with Brad Pitt. Other than that, I don't know.
Fury. I haven't seen that one. I got
the tank movie. The movie about the tank.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one. Yeah, he was in something before. I'll look it up. But Sean Hill, what do you think?
You want to just take my comments from the other?
Oh, you've seen Daredevil, right?
You never picked up a comic book at all as a kid?
I'm sure I did, but did it have a lasting memory? No.
Oh, damn.
You said Sean Hill.
Shame. But I will say I am excited for a second season of Daredevil. I thoroughly enjoyed the first season after episode 4. I know I was about to give up on it until, well, I guess I can say it now. When he slams the door on dude's head continuously, that pretty much sold it for me, and I'm like, I'm all in now.
you just proven mainstream media's statements about black people being violent. Look at you, loving the violence.
Wow.
It wasn't necessarily the violence. It was just the fact that it had, up until that point, it had been, dare I say, rather boring. Other than the hallway. Yes, it was boring to me. Other than the hallway sequence, I literally was about to stop watching the show after that. And then when that moment happened, I'm like, okay, this show is going places. I'm in now. Let's go.
And let me. Who was it that on Facebook told you, give it until episode 4?
Mm-hmm. Given that you're asking the question, obviously it must have been you.
I just want to hear it. That's all.
I don't remember that.
He also played in, now I'm looking it up, The Wolf of Wall Street. He was that one.
Oh, yeah, kid. Yeah.
And apparently you brought him up. He was in Fury. His name, I haven't seen this movie. Maybe you know why. But his character's name was Grady Coon Ass Travis.
Oh,
what?
I never saw the movie. I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that.
That's an interesting name, Coon Ass. All right. So
I'm trying to remember him from Wolf of Wall Street. I don't really.
He played the drug dealer that got busted. Yeah. When
Seth
Rogen, is that the name? Seth Rogen's character was acting a fool in the parking lot.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah,
yeah, I know who you're talking about now. I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
Apparently, he was nominated a lot for that particular character.
Oh, it was just ensemble.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay.
He was in Wolf of Wall Street. He was nominated.
Well, as an ensemble. See.
Ensemble cast. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So there we go. Daredevil season 2. Looking forward to that. I guess that's what, next year maybe.
Yep.
All righty. So there, we're gonna wrap this up.
Wait, has anybody seen Orange is the New Black season yet?
Didn't season 3 start, from what I understand?
Friday.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. Yeah. No, 9 o'clock on Thursday.
I haven't even seen season 2 yet.
Nor have I.
I haven't gotten past.
Wait, okay, you guys are sleeping on season 2, because that black woman that came in and started running shit in the prison, that she is almost to the level of Stringer and Gus Fring. Almost.
Get out.
In my opinion. Yeah. Yeah, you need to watch that season. I think
it is a good show. I don't think I even finished the first season.
No, the show's good.
But it is good. I just haven't watched it.
No, V, the character V, played by that sister, her name escapes me at the moment. She killed it as a black kingpin, so to speak.
Hmm. Let's check it out. Oh, you made me think of something. Have any of you guys watched Wayward Pines?
I have it on my TiVo. Is it good?
I've watched it. I'm caught up. Except I didn't see Thursdays, but
I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay, well, please don't.
But I will say this: go ahead, watch that, Big Sexy. I just watched it last week for the first time. I watched all. I guess it's 5 episodes now. I watched them all. The episode that just came out is such a headbuster.
Uh-oh.
That's, I'm not going to tell, but I almost was kind of like, this is complete bullshit. But I was like, you know what? This is very interesting.
Is and that the Wachowskis as well? Who
no,
is that?
This is actually, this M. is so
Night.
Funny.
You're thinking
that's right, M. Night. That's right.
He's a producer, but it's actually the brainchild of a guy named Blake Crouch. It's so funny that I had no idea, but I had bought this book 2011. It's a self-published author. The book is called Pines, and it ends up being a trilogy, and they made this TV series. It's based off of those 3 books, and so it's actually a book series. Again, put out from a guy no different than either one of us. It just kind of blew up in the last couple of years, but it's one of those types of stories where you watch it, and it's, you know, you don't know what's going on. You know, the premise is, I think he's a Secret Service agent. He's driving down the street, gets into an accident. He wakes up and he's in this small town and he can't get out. And it's this kind of weird stuff going on. Terrence Howard is in this movie.
With or without the perm?
Both.
With the perm.
Both. There's scenes where he doesn't have it. Then there's a scene where he plays a different character. He's playing he's pretending to be somebody else. And I was like, so this nigga went and got his hair did to go play this character. I was like, it's hilarious. But he's in this movie. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I will say, and you know why I'm saying this. I love the casting that they've done, because things happen that are unexpected that you wouldn't expect to happen with people that are cast in those roles.
Yeah, yeah. And it stars, is that Matt Dillon?
Juliette Lewis.
Yep. It's a and there's some brutal stuff that goes on in this. I was like, whoa. Tori had kept telling me about it as I finally watched it. I was like, I gotta watch all of these. And the episode, as I'm saying, go watch it. The episode that just came out last week, it explains everything.
In
terms of what you, and it was nowhere near what you thought it was. And I was trying to figure it out. I was like, it's this. It is so off the ballpark, but it's very interesting.
Well, damn, now I got to go and...
You got to watch it today.
I can watch it today. Here's one thing I find interesting, and I think maybe a lot of networks may be going this route, at least for summertime. It is a 10-episode arc. That's it.
Yep.
And I think some shows, like I'll say, like maybe Revenge, Prison Break, you know, once they reach, you know, about the second season, there's no story left. And then, you know, they start spinning their wheels. Prison Break was essentially the same show over and over again. They just kept getting back in prison at the end of the season.
I love Prison Break, though.
I liked it, too, but it did get a little repetitive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, they ran out of ideas. And even the producers were like, hey, we had enough story for one season. And they asked us to do another season. We're like, well, we're not ready to do another season. So they had to come up with all this stuff on the fly. They didn't have it planned out. And it's the same thing with Revenge. I don't know if anybody watched that show, but I mean, that thing got so ridiculous, you know, towards the end that, I mean, all the character, well, maybe I shouldn't say, maybe some people haven't watched it, but, you know, it just got ridiculous towards the end. You're like, okay, put this show out of its misery. It finally ended this season. It probably went on two seasons too many, so I'm interested to see how this one's going to play out. And you know, hopefully, you know, due to you know great ratings, we're going to you know do another season. No, just do your 10 episodes, get in, get out, bam.
That was why I was hesitant to watch it, because when I heard what the premise was about, it seemed like it was a Lost type of show. Like, it could go like Lost.
Lost is another one, right? Yeah. That probably outstayed its welcome.
And when I saw what's this book? And I said, well, maybe I'll just read the books, because there's no way in hell they're going to continue this story without it getting ridiculous. But when I did find out it was only 10 episodes, I'm all in. and I love it, because the show moves very fast. Things are happening. And then, like I said, the fifth episode in, they break it all down to you. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. So... Wayward Pines, definitely check it out. All right, anything else before we get out of here?
Well, I'll ask anybody watching Aquarius.
This is the age of Aquarius. Sorry.
Oh, I never heard of
Aquarius.
I've never heard of
it.
It's a show on NBC. And I don't know if maybe we talked about this or not. NBC has done something interesting. They've put all the shows online, but the show is still going to air every Thursday. So you can theoretically binge it on their website. You can watch all 12, or you can watch it each week. And I don't know what the theory or reasoning is behind that. And I thought maybe the show was there's obvious editing in the show and on the network version. So I thought maybe the online version would not have editing. And I've been watching the online version, and those shows are edited too. So I'm like, okay, what's the point? It's with David Duchovny. He plays a cop who's investigating the disappearance of a friend's daughter, and she's in the Manson camp. This is Sharon Tate murder. But it's around that same time frame, because the last episode that I saw, he went and cut his demo, and he's trying to meet with he was a singer. He wanted to record with Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. The show's not – I don't know. I'm just so used to seeing David Duchovny as Hank Moody. It's sort of weird now to see him playing a subdued kind of average character. It's all – he almost looks and he – sounds like Mulder, but without the wit that character has. I know me and the wife are watching it, and I'm giving that the Daredevil rule. We're on episode 3, and I say, you know what? If something doesn't happen, if I'm not hooked by the end of episode 4, I'm gonna stop watching it. It's just not interesting enough to warrant my time. I got enough stuff to do and watch. I don't know if anybody else is watching it though.
I've heard of it. Maybe I heard of it from you, but I did hear about it.
Yeah. Well, like I say, you can watch all 12, and it's I don't know if it's a 12 episode and it's out, but it's all online.
All right.
Sean, go ahead. Wait, before we wrap up, Sean.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned a few weeks ago, and I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but there was a police show on ABC that had Felicity Huffman in it.
Oh, American Crime.
That.
Best show on TV.
So it hasn't wrapped up?
No.
Yes, it's wrapped up, but they are going to be doing another season, but with a totally new cast, which I like. A totally new cast, totally new setting, total new everything.
Is this where it's like starts with some murder or some black, or was it a mixed race couple or something? Are they drug addicts or something?
Yeah.
I've seen this.
It's got Timothy Hutton, Felicity Huffman.
I watched some.
I'm hearing some trepidation
here. No. I've only seen a couple episodes.
It's a great, it's a theatrical type show. They do a lot of one takes and one shots and things of that nature. The frustrating thing to me about that show is the editing. The show obviously was not supposed to be on network TV. I think I had heard maybe it was supposed to be on Showtime. And they do so much obvious editing that it almost pisses me off to the point where I had stopped wanting to watch the show, but I got so caught up in it I couldn't. It's a 10 o'clock show. So and when they say something offensive, they not only bleep it, the screen goes black for a second.
So you
can't even read their lips. And I'm like, you know what? Wow. You put a parental advisory at the front of the show.
And let it run.
They already do this. It's 10 o'clock, so kids shouldn't be watching the show anyway. You know, I'm a grown adult. I can handle it. Let me see it. Let me hear it. You know, they're taking a chance on the – well, they took a chance on this show. Like I say, it's excellently written, excellently shot, excellently acted, everything. But then it's almost like they're afraid of it. You know, it's like, well, if you're afraid of it, don't air it.
This sounds like the NYPD Blue drama back in the day when it first aired, and oh, they're going to use this language, and one jag off in some, you know, podunk town said our station isn't going to show it. Who got the last laugh on that one, fucker?
Well, you know what? It's the same network.
Exactly.
The same network. So that just tells you how much times have changed, because NYPD Blue, you know, would go, you know, unedited, you know, nudity and whatnot. Here we are, 2015. This show has no nudity, just, you know, an occasional. I think one of the characters said blowjob. I mean, there's stuff like that, and you could tell what she was saying. You know, and it's edited. It was just so frustrating to watch. But it was a great, great show. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it.
Let me step on my soapbox right now. First of all, I have all 11 episodes on my TV, so I will watch it. But let me step on my soapbox right now. I'm so sick of this catering to these fucking small-ass but vocal, annoying fucking people. If you don't want to watch something or you don't like a word that's in it, don't watch it. That simple. Go fuck yourself and let it run unedited and let it stand or fall on its own merits.
See, I don't think they were under any pressure. I think this is ABC doing it.
ABC's a bunch of pussies.
I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to disagree there.
Go ahead.
I don't see why on national television do you need vulgarity, do you need sexual situations to put on a good television show?
Then watch Disney.
Again, what I'm saying is, why do you need vulgarity? What?
You're banging.
You're banging when you're talking.
Well.
Kill the rage.
Vulgarity and sexual situations content in order to tell a good story, to put out a good show?
I'll explain that, sir.
Do you
curse in your daily life?
Yes, I do. That doesn't make it right.
I'm gonna tread lightly with this question, but do you have sex?
Whoa. Not as much as he wants.
Damn. So, okay.
Does any man ever?
Why should characters on TV or the movies or anywhere else not reflect real life? People curse. People have sex. Really? Yes. People curse. Yes. People. I mean, that's what people do.
Can I jump in here?
Sure, sir.
I have to.
Wait. Are you on my side or their side?
Down.
Sit your ass down.
I will have to agree with Ant on this one. See?
Okay.
Now, let me just explain why. I agree, Sean, I agree with everything you said. If something has to be depicted or said in the script for the character to become three-dimensional, to become a real character, yes, I agree. But, I didn't catch all of that you guys were saying because I had to take care of something in the background, but if this is, I heard you guys talking about a network show.
Right.
If this is a network show that comes on in prime time, I don't see the need why you have to do. I mean, if it's a cable show or a pay cable show, or even if it comes on at 10 o'clock, okay, I could halfway see that. But I don't see the need to put. It's like these producers, they just want to push the envelope for the sake of pushing the envelope.
It does come on at 10 o'clock.
I don't know if you heard, the show was originally, it's not an ABC show. It was, I believe it was supposed to be on like Showtime or maybe HBO or something like that. And it didn't get picked up for whatever reason. ABC picked it up knowing what the content of the show was. So they decided to air it, but in an edited way. Now, I don't mind editing per se, but don't make it obvious, so blatantly obvious that every time it happened, it pulled me out of the show. I don't know if you heard, you know, they would go to black for a split second when someone would say something offensive. That pulls you out. That takes you out of what's happening, and you go, whoa, okay, that was jarring, and then you got to kind of get back into it again. That's all I'm saying. Replace the word, you know, or just bleep it. Just, you know, just do the sound. Doing, you know, putting the screen to black so you can't even read their lips, I think that is stupid.
I just wanted to throw in, you were saying that it may have been a cable show. From what I'm reading here, ABC announced this show. They were developing the show in 2013 and did a pilot. So I don't know if it was – it doesn't seem like it was a Showtime or anything. It was ABC from the jump.
Well, that makes it even worse that they would produce the show that they can't air.
Well, maybe the only thing I can think of, maybe they made it this way so that they can show it, you know, sell it on, you know, on demand, unedited or something.
Yeah, later. I can see that. You know, when the Blu-ray comes out, now see what you couldn't see on TV. American Crime, the too hot for TV version, yeah.
Kind of like, what was that one cop show that was real good that got canceled? Wasn't the original version of that show, they would edit it because they was cussing and stuff? And then they went to a cable network, I think the second season or third season. Regina King was in that show.
Oh, Southland. Oh,
yeah, Southland. Wasn't Southland?
She's also like in that? This, too. She's also in American Crime. Yeah.
Southland was great.
Yeah, it was actually. But there was parts where they would edit that show.
Yeah, it was on NBC originally, and then it moved to TNT.
Yeah. You want to say something, Ant?
I was going to say, it's kind of hard for me to take Regina King as an actress, serious actress anymore. Why? As whenever she talks, all I hear is Huey or Riley Freeman. I was going to be
out. Oh, and a bit of interest for you, Big Sexy. The show, although it's not filmed there, it takes place in Modesto.
Yeah.
Modesto. So we're talking about shows. I'm not going to go into it, but I started watching this on Hulu. American Odyssey. I don't know if you guys heard of that one. It's an NBC show. It's about the Marines or something. They're over in Afghanistan or something like that. And they ended up getting killed by like this black ops team, takes them out. And it's this whole controversy in America. And it basically is about this huge corporation, I guess it's funding terrorist organizations. And they're trying to cover up that they are funding them. So they've killed this whole entire unit. And then there's one woman, a white woman, who survived, and she's over in Afghanistan trying to sort of get back home and expose the situation. And then half of America thinks she's dead, but then there's pictures on Al Jazeera that show her like she's still alive. I've watched maybe two episodes. For a network show, it's somewhat entertaining. I'm surprised they show a lot of the different themes that they're showing on this show, but they do keep it 100. When over in the other country, and I keep thinking the white privilege is going to kick in where she can survive and stuff, she continuously gets her ass whipped over there. And the last part I saw, they had her in the ground and they were about to throw rocks at her head.
Damn.
I mean, it's a hardcore show, but it's interesting. It's like American Odyssey. I'm like, damn. So I've been watching Hulu like crazy. But anyway,
Mike, all the shows you be, some, most of them are good, but you be recommending some.
I'm into that other stuff, man.
I'm still trying to wash my eyes out from watching the dude fuck a pig.
whoa, what?
Oh, you didn't see? What is that show called?
Black Mirror?
It's on Netflix. You can't tell me though. That's like, it's some crazy bugged out stuff though. It's like, whoa, what is this? Like,
I had to see what your recommended list looks like.
Oh man, go watch this show. I'm telling you, watch that show, man. It's like an anthology type of a show because there's only like four episodes, I think, four or five episodes, and each one is totally different people and stories. But it is some of the most way out stories. What's the premise of that episode, Q, that you're talking about?
Like, you don't know. You're gonna
no,
make
you
me
go ahead. if I
remember correctly, I saw it last fall, I think. There's a terrorist that kidnaps the queen. This is in London. Mm-hmm. A terrorist kidnaps the queen's daughter, and they demand.
It's the prime minister's daughter, isn't it?
I thought it was the queen's daughter.
Go ahead.
They kidnap some high leader's daughter in London, and they demand that it was the prime minister that they demanded mm-hmm. have sex with a pig on live TV. And then if he does that, then the daughter will be released. And the prime minister is like, this is some bullshit. I'm not. this is a joke. And then they cut off the girl's. They allegedly cut off the girl's finger and mail it to the prime minister to show that they mean business.
And he's like a countdown where he has to perform a sex act basically with this pig on live TV. They can't fake it. And if they don't, they're going to kill this chick. So that on itself, premise is wild shit.
Honestly, if you can suspend disbelief that this first world nation would succumb to a terrorist. I mean, if that was the United States, the president of the United States, no matter who the president was, they'd be like, oh, well, send a goodbye card. We don't deal with terrorists, and I don't cook pigs. So, but it is an interesting study on being confronted with certain situations, how you would handle it.
And it also talks about, like, didn't it, like, touch on social media in this episode?
Oh, yeah.
It goes into the internet and everything. The show's called Black Mirror. That's what it is. This is the first episode is this one, National Anthem. But I also, I don't know if you watched the other ones, I also liked the second episode, which is a dystopia situation.
Yeah, that one didn't do it for me.
It's either you're going to like it or kind of not, but I enjoyed it. It was so wild out there, and it touched on the whole sort of, the Think You Can Dance, or what is it, the competition?
American Idol.
American Idol sort of thing, but in a very weird dystopia future where all you do is just inundate it with TV shows, and if you don't watch the shows, you get penalized. It's an interesting thing to me. And then I think there was another one about... was it some sort of cartoon character getting into the political field or something? Did you see that one?
You know, I want to say I saw three of them, but I don't remember the third one. And I just fell off of it after that.
Yeah, I've only seen the three.
They can't top the first one for me.
There's actually two seasons. There's three episodes each season. They get a little out there. Apparently, Robert Downey Jr. has bought the rights to this to do it either TV version or American version in America. So we'll see what happens with that, but
it's almost like a Twilight Zone, but
twisted,
less fantasy and sci-fi, but kind of like Twilight Zone.
It's Twilight Zone was very dark twist. All right, Black Mirror Podcast Juice and Pooh, where can they find you online?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Pooh, and July 11th in San Diego for the We Are All Heroes diversity panel. Now including Mr. Black Dynamite himself and Spawn and the black gangster from Dark Knight. Oh, yeah. Michael Jai White.
All right, right on.
I am very happy for you, Aunt Pooh.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
Can't just have it. Can't just. All right. Big Sexy and Sack, where can they find you?
You can find me in court a lot next week. I got a trial starting up probably. Other than that, Facebook, Mark Wiggins, Twitter, Big Sexy and Sack, and I'm trying to set up an Instagram account, actually, so I'll keep you posted on that.
All right. All right, Mr. Q-Storm.
I'm gritting my teeth, not making a joke about that Instagram account that you say is going to set up. Wow. Now, Big Sexy, let me just counsel you. As your counsel, that should take about 10 minutes. Okay.
10 minutes?
Not even that.
You just go to download the app, click sign in with Facebook account, boom.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to customize and all that stuff, you know.
I ain't customizing shit.
That's my man.
See, if he was a real black man, he would like customize these nuts. But I'm just saying,
real.
You can find me at qstorm.com/lightningstrikes, Facebook under Michael Jones, Twitter at qstorm3476. I'm going to try to get a review of Jurassic World up on the blog site before I leave for vacation tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I will try.
Where are you going?
We ain't going nowhere exciting. We're going to Williamsburg, Virginia.
Oh, okay. You say
hey, if you're not sleeping in your bed, it's a vacation.
I'd rather be sleeping at my age. I'd rather be sleeping in my bed.
Damn.
All right.
All right. Last but certainly not least, Mr. Sean Hill.
Yay. You can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views. You can also find me on Facebook, Sean Hill and Real Movie Talk, and the blog, hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. Current reviews of Jurassic World is up. Next week, I will have reviews of Dope and Me and Earl and the Dying Girl next week.
All right, so. Dope. I can't see that one. All right, my name is Michael Dean. You can find me going trans nagger. And I'm also I'm going transracial. I'm now going to be Asian. But then you can always catch me online at Podcast Juice.
Why would you choose Asian and not Jew?
Because I love Asian food. Let me be me, man. I'm Asian. Also, you can find me on Twitter at MDean. And you know what we always say about this time? Work it like a job. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Don't understand.
Commander.
Let go of your hate.
I'll
live. You made it.
Am
fluid.
Command.
Don't understand.
On defense.
Never have.
Commander.
As long as I stay.
Am on defense mechanism.
Am never. Am fluid.
Command.
Don't understand.
No, wait.
On defense.
Never have.
Commander. As long as I stay.
You made it. Am on defense mechanism.
I'll live.
Never am fluid.
Command.
Don't understand.
On defense.
Never have.
Commander. As long as I stay.
Let go of your hate.
Am on defense mechanism.
Am never am fluid.
Command.
Don't understand.
No way.
On defense.
Never have.
Commander. As long as I stay.
Am on defense mechanism.
Later.
Gentlemen, certainly, somebody's coming.